morning. Today is Thursday, July the 30th, 212th day of the new year. Joining us this morning from the Redway office of the California Highway Patrol. Do you get area commander as a title?
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So even small areas get titles.
Even small areas, yes.
All right. Brett Fabry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Befuddled. The smoke that's in the air. If you are listening in the Humboldt Bay region, the smoke that's in the air, I guess we're getting word that that's out of Clear Lake. How it got here and how come it showed up the last half hour or 45 minutes so aggressively befuddles me. So that's why I'm befuddled. Did you find a quote over there in the book?
I did.
All right, let it rip.
It is not fair to ask of others what you are unwilling to do for yourself.
That's why you're in uniform today, huh?
It's from the leadership book, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, put a little grease under your fingernails and maybe a smush on the lapel. And
yes.
You look like you've been busting your chops all night long. Little do they know. And the limousine driver will be back in time for you to leave at 8:45?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Brett, We were driving down to the Bay Area a couple weeks ago and saw the tents out there south of Richardson's Grove. Oh, geez, did I blow it? Was this reggae? Nah, it was another musical event.
Correct.
Okay. So you got that, you got reggae. What does it take to put on one of these big old events? Because I know you guys are involved from the get-go. I mean, we have our little taste with the truckers, but that doesn't involve overnights and moving a lot of people. That's just, folks standing on the sidewalk. What does it take to do one of those things from a coordination perspective?
It's a lot of work on their part. There's a lot of hoops they have to jump through as far as they have to get a conditional use permit from the county. They have to submit plans on how they're going to deal with fire, security, sewer, just like any type of like a small city for a weekend. They have to outline how they're going to deal with all that. And then we're involved in the planning process as far as traffic control services. The sheriff's offices are involved with, what are we going to do for law enforcement? As far as these events, the event you saw probably a couple weeks ago was Northern Nights Music Festival. That's a pretty new event. This was their third year. And then this weekend...
What's the genre?
It's some type of an electrical rock type of music.
Oh, kind of like the synthesizer, the international stuff?
Yeah, and they have a lot of high-tech equipment. It's a pretty fabulous event. And the planners or the organizers are really good people to work with. I've enjoyed working with them. They approached me about, what I thought about what they wanted to do, and I gave them some suggestions. And they actually got very involved in the community down in Southern Humboldt and ended up actually giving money back to the community, which is pretty awesome.
Cool, and then you got the big boy.
The big one is the 31st annual Reggae on the River Festival, which is they'll start that tomorrow. People will start showing up tonight at some point, but this is our big event for the year is Reggae on the River.
When something like that happens, does it take months of planning from your guys' perspective as well as the organizers, or do they just kind of give you, here's what we want, you look it over and schedule it in?
Well, last year we were pretty successful with a new stoplight we had, but other than
Ooh.
That, I'll tell you more about that in the next few minutes.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brett Fabry. Brett, the concept of these big events, whether it's one that is like what we kind of, well, like you said, 31 years, I mean, come to anticipate or work around in Southern Humboldt, but even like the county fair at Ferndale, I mean, that throws a bit of a wrench in there also and changes the traffic patterns and the dynamics and all that sure. kind of stuff. How do you guys work that through?
Well, you know, for an event like reggae and other music festivals, if it's going to impact traffic like it does in a lot of events, we enter into a contract with them. And so they end up paying for higher patrol or sheriff's office services so that the taxpayers aren't burdened with also trying to pay for extra law enforcement because of these events. But, you know, this North Coast up here is amazing, the amount of events that are available to everybody. When you have the, you know, the music events here in Eureka on Thursday nights, you have, you know, starting in the summer with Summer Arts down in Southern Humboldt, Redwood Run, Reggae on the River, Northern Nights. Then, you know, them
plus marathon. That used to be the event.
There's two marathons down yeah. there now. And then, you know, you have the county fair, plus you have the fair in Eureka. So, and then you have the events that happen in Fortuna with, you know, Autorama. And so there's a lot of events here on the North Coast that I don't think a lot of people realize how much stuff goes on every weekend.
So it's routine?
Yeah, we're used to it. Yeah, we prepare for this every year. You know, I have my large events I deal with down there, and it's a yearly planning process. We get done with the events this year, and then we'll have an after-action report with the organizers of a lot of those large events and prepare for next year, talk about what went right and wrong and what we can do better every single year.
After 3 years, okay, there's probably some gap management that's necessary. After 31 years? Is there still gap management that's necessary?
Yeah, there is. You know, a couple years ago, we had some issues with people crossing 101, and we had to come up with a plan. And so we brought everybody together, including Estelle and Rex from the Board of Supervisors, and we all kind of sat down, and we had a big brainstorming on how we can make it better. And so now we have a...
Who's brainstormed the most?
Everybody's. Yeah, it was a good collective effort, and we came up with this stoplight that is controlled for people to cross 101, being part of Reggae on the River, and it's turned out to be pretty successful, and we're looking forward to it again this year.
So is that then a template that you'll pass through the system for other events? I remember when the A's we were with them and the postseason, you know, the guys would be out there on 880 at the Hagenberger exit and then uh-huh. at the 66th Avenue, and they would take over the first two lanes of this big old highway so that the parking lot could empty out in some form of a rational approach rather than, you know, 5 hours in the parking lot after the ball game at night.
Yeah. You know, we fine-tuned it every year. You know, 11 years ago when I was there for their 20th year, we used to actually be out in the middle of 101 with a diamond cone pattern directing traffic with an officer out in the middle of the highway.
I remember that, you know, that you guys were kind of out there, which I thought was kind of cool. I mean,
yeah.
Because, you know, the personal... You're seeing people drive by, and obviously they're not going to be driving by really quickly.
No, but it was dangerous because you're putting one of our guys out there and
target
so,
practice.
Yeah, so we've changed. You know, luckily nothing happened with that, but you know, we fine tuned each event, and I enjoy the after action because I like hearing about how their event went from their perspective, and you know how things went for them inside. You know, did they make some money? And a lot of them they give back to the community, which is pretty awesome. I don't think people realize a lot of these music events are community events that are helping support stuff in the community.
Yeah, the follow-up PR is kind of lacking a little bit.
Yes.
Because, yeah. I mean, they're focused on cleaning up and doing all the other stuff, too. I mean, that's certainly makes sense. And there's probably not a shortage of people willing to receive the money.
No, not at all.
So you guys then are in a spot where they are asked to see if they want the overtime? Do you have to pull the trigger, so to speak, and force them to do overtime? How does that
I can't force them to do overtime. They usually want to. A lot of them actually, they like some of these events. They said, you know, dealing with the people, it's fun. You know, a lot of the people are very sociable, and they enjoy being involved.
I've not heard that there's an awful lot of kickback or blowback from these events, from the people who are attending. There don't tend to be that many things that draw the attention of local law enforcement?
No. The problem we've had is sometimes people want to develop an event that the infrastructure doesn't support. You know, they want to have an event that's out in Blocksburg, you know, a large event where you don't have the resources there. The road getting out there is a little treacherous, and so people that want to try to throw on these events that are out like that are sometimes will get some resistance because of the services that are available. They're just not available like when you're closer to the areas where they are.
What about the pig farm? Is that something that is easy because it's right on the highway there?
Black Oak Ranch, owned by Bob Barsotti. We
had all right, Black Oak Ranch.
Yeah, right. We had a little problem down there in June. It had a little miscommunication on how that was supposed to work. He is putting on another event, and we've made some changes, you know, along the way. And he has an event in August.
Because that seems like it is almost tailor made for this kind of a thing. It's there. It's manageable. The roadway is a little bit wide there. Is it an easier site to manage from your guys' perspective?
It can be. The problem is that, you know, when you're dealing with these large events, is you want to get everybody off of US 101 and get them in a lot where they can be processed.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brett Fabry out of the Redway office of the California Highway Patrol. Brett, the different events that happen, whether it's the one in Laytonville, the site, I guess, in Laytonville, the site in Piercy, do they vary based on what the genre is, what your involvement is? If you had, I'm just kind of thinking, if it was a jazz festival, okay, you're going to have a different kind of personality, individual, than you would if it's a heavy metal.
Correct.
Okay, well, fine. Does that change how you guys approach the systems to these?
No, it's still always the same for us. It's just the amount of traffic. Now, you know, some of the events are different. You know, summer arts draws a different crowd than reggae, and reggae draws a different crowd than Northern Nights and the Redwood Run. So they all kind of draw a different crowd, and it's just a matter of managing people and traffic for us. And so the genre and the, you know, people that are going to show up doesn't really change for us, but there is a variety of stuff that goes on. It's not always just one genre that shows up down there.
The event coordinators themselves, or the, I guess, promotion team, I don't know what the right word is for them.
Or organizers.
There you go. Okay. So they are organized. Good.
Yes.
When they come in, they get a packet, so to speak, from the county. Okay, here's the punch list.
Most of the time, yeah, they have a list of stuff that they have to provide to the county, to the planning commission. They also have to go in front of the Board of Supervisors and get approval for their event. And that's where, you know, some of the guidelines are set in that approval process.
Do they vary much year to year? I wouldn't think that they would.
Once you have it down and you get a, you know, let's say you get a 5-year permit, you know, you're pretty set for that 5 years if you stay within that plan. It's when you want to increase that plan that you have to show that you can handle additional people, additional traffic, additional services that you need to be able to provide to people down there to provide a safe event.
What happens when the surprises occur? You were referencing the Black Oak Farm. Okay. All of a sudden, we're more popular than we thought. A lot of ticket sales at the gate rather than in advance.
Yeah,
okay. Now we got a backlog. Now we got action. Couldn't really have planned around it particularly. Is there flexibility within these plans with the relationship with the various entities that are involved to be able to deal with some of those last-minute things that obviously pop up, because they always do.
Not really, because, you know, they're pretty set on the amount of tickets that they can sell or amount of people they can have on site. So they can't really go beyond that because then they have to be able to show that they can provide those services. So that usually doesn't become a problem. Most ticket sales are all online now. Rarely can you buy tickets at the gate anymore. Most ticket sales are online. Last year, Reggae had some extra tickets and we're selling some one-day tickets for Saturday and Sunday. But that's not always the norm.
Well, simple thing. Everybody shows up in my size truck versus planning for Yugos. Yeah, things like that that can happen. Can things change on the fly?
Yeah, they do. A lot of times they have contingency plans for if every person shows up as a single person in a car, then they have overflow lots that they can use. The RV was an issue that we had a couple years ago with Reggae on the River, and what they decided to do, because the amount of RVs shown up was unknown, now they sell those online, the RV passes. So you have to have an RV pass before you even get there, and if you don't have one, then you're out the door.
You have to stay with Porter down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
The crowd control, do you guys get involved with that much, or are you pretty much just focusing on the egress and things within a couple of feet of the highway?
Yeah. Our biggest concern is traffic on 101, the ingress and egress to the event. They have their own security on site, and they deal with most of their own security problems. We knock on wood, haven't had any issues. The sheriff's office handles most crimes that would occur down there that goes beyond what their security people can handle. But for us, mostly it's traffic.
We seem to be seeing some of the big rigs again. I don't know if it's just an anomaly or if I'm just rooting real hard for them. But with Richardson's Grove and the lack of straightening it out and cleaning it up and making it safer, the fact that you've got all those folks just kind of in that neighborhood, do you hold your breath for 4 or 5 days hoping that a logging truck doesn't not see, or a Winnebago or one of these big supply rigs that are coming through that have to do the goofy because Caltrans hasn't been able to get that project through?
Absolutely. We get nervous about that all the time because you have so many extra people in a small space. We get concerned about, there might be some incident. And so that's why we always have enough people working. We try to not let traffic get stopped there on 101 for a significant amount of time where it can back up into the Grove. But, we would like to see that project, get straightened out. It would definitely be beneficial, I think, for the community to get that taken care of.
KINS, News and Information, Times 842. We'll be back with more from Brett Fabry.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. I heard the music. Hope you did, too. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brett Fabry. Brett, the Willits Bypass went through Willits. Looks like everything's kind of chunking along nice and dandy. What are you hearing about it?
Yeah, they're making some good progress this year. Most of the work is being done on the north end, the interchange that's being built on the north end. But they're making some really good progress this year, and it'll be nice to see that project eventually come to an end.
Is that next year that they're hoping to run cars on it?
I think that's the end of 2016, yes, next year. The end of the construction season next year.
Which, who knows when that could be? It could be 2019 by the end of that season.
Yeah, it could be as late as October, yeah.
Okay. So does that make things easier for you guys too? Not having to go through town?
At times, yeah. Yeah, if we're trying to get somewhere south, although that's in Ukiah's area.
I know it's kind of in that interchange area.
But our guys do have to book down in Ukiah if they arrest somebody in Mendocino County, so that can help.
Yeah. Just kind of flashing back how long it used to take from point A to point B, and it wasn't necessarily because it took longer, it was just all the turns.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bigger distance. It wasn't the size of rigs. It was just the back and forth, all the switchbacks and things of that nature.
There's a lot of big projects that have happened actually in Northern California. If you look at, you know, the bypass up north of Oreck, you know, that happened here in our lifetime.
Yeah, around the national park. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the one that happened where they bypassed Cloverdale. You know, that's been.
Boy, hasn't that community done well?
Yes.
With the bypass.
Yes.
Well, even Arcata.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You had the bypass.
That was before my time, but yes, I remember.
Oh, come on. That was the early 70s. You're not that young. I hope.
And then, you know, they have quite a project going over there at Buckhorn before you get into Redding.
Yeah, that one's kind of amazing. I guess they're thinking in the next couple of months it's going to be wrapped up.
That is moving mountains over there.
It literally.
Amazing.
Yeah. And the fill-ins.
Yes.
That's going to be the impressive part for me is how are they just being a little bit more sensitive to last chance grade. You can't stop Mother Nature. But to see those areas where they're filling in, knowing that they're going to be able to stabilize those somehow because, you know, there aren't the earthquakes and there's not an ocean there.
Yeah, they're pretty just, steep.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole project's kind of cool. It'll probably make the Weaverville office a little bit more effective, though, huh?
Yeah, it'll be a lot closer to Redding.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 5 minutes, here we are, guys.
Yeah.
Do large construction projects like that cause you guys consternation, or are they as exciting for you as it is for the community?
They don't usually cause us any problems normally because part of their plan is to not affect traffic as much as they can. But we don't usually get involved. They have their own traffic control, their own people running flags and stuff. But the stoppages, you know, affect us just like they do everybody else. We have places we're trying to get also, just like the motoring public, and so that can be a challenge.
You know, I've often wondered why they don't have little concession stands. You know, like a little hot dog cart, pushing it up and down, you know, with the little something to nibble, something to drink, that kind of stuff.
That could be your new business venture.
You know, and I know it'd kick butt. I just know that it would. But then I'd have to wear the hat all the time to protect the top of the head. Thanks for coming by, Brett.
Thank you very much.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go ahead.